Europeans craft innovative ways to pressure Russia.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and the economy. European Union diplomats are meeting today to talk about ratcheting up sanctions against Russia for its support of separatists in Ukraine. The Financial Times got a hold of the list of possibilities that is circulating among European capitals. The reporter who saw the list is Peter Spiegel, the FT's Brussels bureau chief. Peter, good morning.
Good morning.
So you got a peek. Give me a sense of what European diplomats might be discussing.
Well, basically looking at five separate measures that, unlike previous sanctions, which are really targeted at individuals, this would go after entire sectors of the Russian economy. The main one is the financial sector. And the document I got, which is being discussed this morning by EU ambassadors in a closed-door session, basically would cut Russian banks from the European stock and bond markets.
Now, how'd they choose the banks that might be targeted? It's ones with more than half government ownership in Russia?
Exactly. And let's be honest, that's most of the big banks in Russia, particularly after the financial crisis. A lot of the private banks sort of needed to be helped by the state. Interestingly, it goes much further than the U.S. did. The U.S. went after just two or three banks, and only one of them was really a large bank, Gazprom Bank. This would go after literally, I think, the top five or six, almost the entire financial sector. So it is much more sweeping than the U.S. sanctions thus far.
Now, Peter, short answer, chances that European diplomats will actually adopt any of this?
Let's be honest. This requires all 28 member states to adopt. We have seen several member states who have resisted such broad-based economic sanctions. Because let's remember, unlike the U.S., Europe is really intertwined economically with Russia. And remember, this is a continent that just about a year ago was in the worst economic recession, frankly, since the end of World War II. They're just beginning to emerge. Some of these politicians in a lot of these countries, particularly Italy and Spain and some of these countries that went through really harsh times, you know, they don't want to make another hit on their economies. So we'll see. But I got to say, if I were a betting man, I'd bet against right now.
Peter Spiegel is Brussels bureau chief for the Financial Times. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Given corporate profits coming in by the hour these days, given several strong employment reports from the government, the sense in the U.S. is we have a decent economy getting stronger still. But for a splash of cold water, read today's International Monetary Fund forecast. For the second time, the IMF has revised downward its prediction for the U.S. economy, cutting predicted growth to 1.7% for this year. The report warns that if growth turns out to be not all that strong, asset prices would have to be repriced in GOPE. Good old plain English. That means stock prices would go down. The IMF is expecting growth to run at 3% or more next year. Now let's do the numbers. The 100 share index in London is up 4 points. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up this morning. Who was that they let into the United States Capitol this week? See if you can identify this voice.
This isn't a Republican problem. It's not a Democratic problem. It's a problem for everybody. It's for all of us. And if you don't stop inversions now with some sort of Band-Aid, by the time you get around to doing it, there'll be tens of billions of dollars of taxes that will have been lost and will never be recovered.
Why, that's Marketplace regular Alan Sloan, senior editor-at-large at Fortune magazine, testifying in the Senate Finance Committee about the corporate tax maneuver du jour called the inversion, when companies acquire foreign firms to, among other things, get their foreign street addresses to save money on U.S. taxes. Mr. Sloan has written extensively about inversions and have called companies that do this deserters. Thanks for joining us, Alan.
My pleasure, David.
So you schlepped to Washington. What did you hope to achieve by appearing?
I wanted to explain to the Senate Finance Committee what would happen if they didn't stop these companies from deserting our country and cutting our tax revenue.
Now, you see almost a mania here, almost like a bubble in thinking when it comes to these inversions.
It's the new trendy thing on Wall Street. They gave us internet stocks. They gave us toxic mortgage-backed securities, and now they're giving us inversions. There's money to be made in it for Wall Street, and it's just another product to them.
Now, most people agree there may be a longer-term fix, and that might be desirable. But you're saying what? don't wait for the bigger solution?
You need two things. You need the short-term thing, and then you need to cure the underlying problem, which is an incomprehensible and ridiculous corporate tax code.
Well, in fact, this is how you said it to the senators.
If you can just stop these things for a while, you can buy time to fix the system. If you sit around and say, well, in a few years we'll do this, it'll all be fine, by then the patient will have lost so much blood, it's going to be very, very hard to do anything remotely revenue neutral in a tax reform.
Alan, you spent years covering the curiosities of the American tax code, but this inversion stuff really sticks in your craw.
This is a massive undermining of corporate income tax, untold billions of dollars that will be lost. And it enrages me the way nothing I remember has ever done in my career.
You can see the film version of Mr. Sloan Goes to Washington at marketplace.org. Alan Sloan, Senior Editor-at-Large at Fortune, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
Now, some U.S. companies deny that these inversion deals are about lowering their U.S. tax rate. The CEO of Abbott Labs made that point in a Wall Street Journal op-ed the other day, saying companies pay the same rate in the U.S. after an inversion. The key word there is rate. Sloan and others argue that an inversion can still mean what the companies pay in American taxes could go down. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.